Tonight, President Biden speaking with Israeli and Palestinian leaders as violence escalates in the Middle East. An Israeli airstrike leveling a building in Gaza, housing international press offices, an hour after the military ordered people to evacuate. Condemnation of the attack swift, but Israel claiming the building was being used by Hamas. The human death toll growing, with families on both sides of the conflict caught in the crossfire. Matt Gutman on the ground again tonight. Mounting confusion over masks. A growing number of states adopting CDC guidance, allowing fully vaccinated Americans to ditch face coverings indoors and outdoors. A number of major companies dropping their mask policies, but with two-thirds of the country still not fully vaccinated, some essential workers and parents are raising concerns. The fallout from that cyber attack targeting the Colonial Pipeline. Fuel flowing again, but many still desperate for gas, with nearly 80% of gas stations in the nation's capital empty. Cybersecurity experts now sounding the alarm, saying companies need to step up their defense against future threats. Hair rule controversy. After a high school softball player had to cut her braids to stay in a game, officials said the teen's hair violated the rules. Her family's push to change a policy for high school athletes they call discrimination. Your money tonight, Americans feeling the pinch as prices soar on everything from homes to groceries. What's causing the spike, and is there an end in sight? The search for a missing tiger seen roaming around a Houston neighborhood where police believe the big cat is now, as the alleged owner appears in court on an unrelated murder charge. And the stranger's life-saving gift, a sixth grader grateful with a new lease on life and his inspiring message.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We begin tonight with the Mideast conflict escalating by the hour. Neither side willing to back down. President Biden today on calls with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. President Biden reaffirming Israel's right to defend itself and stressing the need for Hamas to stop firing rockets from Gaza. And this today, an Israeli airstrike leveling an evacuated 12-story building you see there, housing families along with offices for the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. The Israeli government says the building contained Hamas military intelligence assets. The AP late today saying it had no indications Hamas was active in the building. And out of Gaza, Hamas launching deadly rocket attacks into areas around Tel Aviv. All week, those rockets fired by the thousands into Israel, many intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system. The death toll rising on both sides. ABC's Matt Gutman in Israel again tonight, leading us off.
Tonight, an airstrike being condemned internationally. Israel bringing down yet another block tower in Gaza, but this time it was different.
That building is where Al Jazeera's offices are. There we are, another strike on that tower. And the tower has come down.
Al Jazeera English broadcasting live as the tower fell. The building also housing multiple international news outlets, including the Associated Press offices in Gaza. The company's president and CEO saying in a statement, the world will know less about what is happening in Gaza because of what happened today. The media outlets were given only an hour to get out. Israel claiming the high-rise building housed Hamas military assets. After the attack, the White House press secretary tweeting that the Biden administration has communicated directly to Israel that ensuring the safety and security of journalists and independent media is a paramount responsibility. But for the sixth straight night, it's civilians caught in the middle. Atop this pancake building in Gaza's Shati refugee camp, rescuers looking for signs of life. And in the din, Mohammed Hadidi pulled from atop the debris pile. You can hear him in grief, wailing, "Where did you leave me, my darling? Where did you leave me, my darling?" His wife and five sons were visiting with family here for the Eid al-Fitr holiday when the bombs came. Hours later, Hadidi, who thought his whole family had been killed, was led into a Gaza hospital where a tiny miracle awaited. Rescuers had pulled his five-month-old son, Omar, from the rubble, alive. The father tenderly kissing his son, Omar, the infant, clutching his father's finger, both of them crying. Despite being shelled from land and air, a defiant Hamas intensifying its rocket launches tonight.
And there's the boom of the interceptor.
One of those rockets exploding outside Tel Aviv's main suburb today. Cars turned into fireballs. That water main spraying water into the street. One man was killed. And as we were running towards the blast, this woman racing ahead. My kids are at home, she says, ducking under police tape and then stepping gingerly over that shattered glass. At the scene, the facades of buildings ripped off, windows blown out.
I can see the people behind me cleaning up. I believe that they've cleared the wound, but it's still very much a chaotic scene here.
Minutes later, we saw her again. She said she'd felt unwell earlier that day.
You were in the hospital. And I saw you running.
Yeah.
But after the blast, she ran home, pointing to her house. She said her name was Valentina, and her daughter's right there, safe. Her daughter's describing the sound of that incoming rocket. And then, like thousands of other Israelis and tens of thousands of Palestinians ousted by bomb blasts, they wheeled away those suitcases to look for a new place to sleep tonight.
So many families caught right in the middle of this. We have Matt Gutman with us again near Tel Aviv tonight. Matt, you just witnessed Hamas launching more rockets there into Israel. Can you tell us what's happening on the ground right now?
We were setting up with outside the day's previous rocket attack site when we heard those sirens, those air raids going off. You could see the flashes of the interceptors in the sky here and feel the booms. We heard the landings of rockets. That as Israel's prime minister now saying that this operation in Gaza is going to go on as long as it needs to. Hamas saying that it can continue to launch rockets on Israel's heartland for another 6 months. With obviously, this complicates the mediation efforts of both the Americans who are here and Egyptians.
All right, Matt, thank you again for your reporting all week long on this. Let's go ahead right away and bring in ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks. Mary Alice, President Biden speaking to leaders on both sides today as the White House is facing growing pressure here at home and from the international community to intervene.
With the White House says the president is closely monitoring the growing violence in the region. Today was the first time as president that Biden spoke directly with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. And in those calls with the two leaders, the White House says President Biden expressed his concern over the loss of life, including children, and affirmed his hope for a two-state solution. So far, President Biden has been very careful not to publicly criticize Israel, but some human rights organizations and some lawmakers on Capitol Hill today expressing concern about those airstrikes on the media building. We know that on the ground, U.S. senior officials are planning to meet in Israel and the West Bank and urging calm.
The White House watching this very closely. Mary Alice, thank you. We move on now to mounting confusion across the country following the CDC's new guidance that people who are fully vaccinated can ditch the mask in most settings. At least 19 states now changing their mask mandates. Businesses like Starbucks first saying masks would still be required, only to reverse course in 24 hours, now making masks optional for fully vaccinated customers. More than 156 million Americans, 12 and older, receiving at least one dose of vaccine. That's more than 55%. But with most of the country still not vaccinated, many essential workers and parents of young kids are raising concerns. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight's celebration.
Everybody's been waiting for this moment for a while now.
And confusion.
Should I take my mask off? Should I leave it on? It's super confusing.
In the wake of the CDC's new guidance allowing fully vaccinated people to ditch the masks outdoors and indoors in almost every situation.
We've all been in this lockdown for so long. It still feels like a shock to transition to a new normal.
Many Americans feeling whiplash from rapid-fire changes. At least 19 of the 24 states that had mask mandates now announcing plans to adopt the CDC guidance or scrap mask requirements entirely. And major chains like Walmart, Costco, and Trader Joe's making masks optional for fully vaccinated shoppers.
They're jumping the gun for sure. I mean, last week they tell you everybody must wear a mask, and now 2 days later they're saying take off your mask. I don't trust any of it.
Yesterday, Starbucks said it was keeping its full mask requirement. Now, just 24 hours later, they'll let fully vaccinated customers choose. But nearly two-thirds of the country is not yet fully vaccinated, and businesses and the essential workers running them will be largely relying on an honor system.
We didn't want to be the mask police in the early portions of this pandemic, and we certainly don't want to be the vaccination police at the end of it.
And with kids under 12 still not eligible for the shots, parents like Fatima and Nicholas Diaz are taking extra precautions.
If I'm going into a store, I'm wearing a mask. If I get out of my car, I'm wearing a mask.
Is that for your own safety, or is that to set an example for your son?
Both.
At a park picnic for Fatima's birthday, the parents weren't wearing masks, but 3-year-old Caden was.
Why do you wear your mask?
Because we have to be safe.
Good advice there. Trevor Ault joins us from Central Park in New York City, where we've seen a lot of people out, many still wearing masks. And Trevor, the CDC is going to be looking at further guidance specifically for schools and summer camps.
Oh, that's right. What the CDC director says, these mask guidance changes are a first step, and they'll be using it as a framework as they re-examine their guidance now in other areas for things like schools, summer camps, daycares, and even broader things like travel. Whit.
All right, Trevor, thank you. Now to the fuel crunch along the East Coast, easing, but not everywhere. Nearly 80% of gas stations in Washington, D.C. are out of fuel. In the wake of that pipeline cyber attack, industry experts say it's going to take time for things to get back to normal. Here's ABC's Elwin Lopez from Atlanta.
Tonight, even with that massive pipeline back up and running, experts warning some drivers might still have a hard time finding fuel at the pump.
It'll be a few weeks before every gas station has gasoline, so 2 to 3 weeks, especially in the hard-hit areas.
Colonial Pipeline now flowing, delivering millions of gallons of fuel, but it only flows at 5 miles an hour. Officials assuring Americans the end of that gas crunch, crippling much of the East Coast, is now in sight.
Gas station outages are down about 12% from the peak. So it's still going to work its way through the system over the next few days, but we should be back to normal fairly soon.
With supply trickling in, parts of the country still feeling the pinch. In Washington, D.C., nearly 80% of gas stations still without fuel.
More gas stations are closed than I thought there would be. So I've gone up and down and was lucky to find this one.
The ransomware attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which triggered the shortage, raising the alarm among cybersecurity experts. In an op-ed posted to CNBC, the Secretaries of Homeland Security and Commerce warning this latest attack should serve as a clarion call for organizations across the country to shore up their cyber defenses and get ahead of future threats.
Elwin Lopez joins us now from Atlanta. And Elwin, we know a ransom in the low millions was paid to a Russian-linked hacker group called DarkSide to restore the pipeline's operations. But you're learning authorities are increasingly concerned about the frequency of these attacks.
That's right, Whit. A recent report found there's been a 300% increase in the amount of money paid in these types of attacks since 2019. And experts warned that last year alone, nearly 2,400 U.S. government agencies, schools, and healthcare facilities were targeted by ransomware attacks. Whit.
Elwin Lopez for us. Thank you. Now to a story making national headlines. A teenager in North Carolina says she felt humiliated when she had to cut her braids to stay in a high school softball game. Officials saying the 16-year-old's hair violated the rules, but the teen and her family say those rules are discriminatory and they want change. Here's ABC's Zachary Keesh.
Tonight, a promise to revisit a high school sports rule that many consider culturally insensitive or outright discriminatory. The renewed scrutiny on rules regarding hair coming after 16-year-old Nicole Piles, who had already stepped up to the plate and hit a double, faced ejection by the umpires in her second at bat unless she removed her hair beads.
It's going to be with me for the rest of my life, but it's not going to ruin the game of softball for me.
Nicole says it was humiliating having to cut off her braids, the only way to remove those beads.
This will never change how I feel about my face, my body, my hair, none of it.
My child wasn't protected. How can they see the pain that they caused through these children's eyes, through black people's eyes? They can't.
Technically, the call was by the book. Uniform rules explicitly state hair beads are prohibited. Nicole's family and others want the rule, which officials say
was written with safety in mind changed in light of growing recognition of the discriminatory impact of such policies. Much discussed when a high school wrestler was made to cut off his locks to compete in 2018. And fitting a pattern of black hairstyles being disproportionately policed in sports, school, and society.
I want the world to know how I feel as a black man and as a father that my child had to be ridiculed in order to play a simple game.
Nicole, a standout student with aspirations of becoming a doctor, is not alone in this. The school district has given her their full support, and that governing body which oversees high school sports at the national level now says that a rule change is on the table for June. Whit?
Zachary Keeshar, thanks to you tonight. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Consumer prices soaring, Americans paying more for everything from gasoline to groceries and even homes. Could relief be on the way? That's next.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to growing fears over inflation. Consumer prices surging at their fastest pace in more than a decade. The impact already hitting many customers and families hard. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Tonight, from groceries to houses to gasoline, Americans are paying more for all of it. Consumer prices rising more than 4% in April, the fastest pace in 13 years.
We're at a crossroads for the economy where we are seeing very clear evidence of exceptional demand, but the supply side of the economy is currently constrained.
The pandemic creating severe supply shortages for many goods, and now surging demand sending prices sky high. The average price of a used car more than $25,000 in April, a new record.
I've never seen anything like this.
Lumber prices tripling since last spring, adding nearly $36,000 to the average price of a new home. And it's costing builders like Steve Marsh.
Specific lumber items might increase $5 or $10 per unit within a week. And that's unusual. And that's an extreme situation.
For the Swart family, the increased cost for basic goods means cuts elsewhere.
I can't even take my kids for a good drive down the river because gas prices are ridiculous, rent prices are ridiculous, food prices are ridiculous.
The good news, as more workers re-engage and production increases, most economists expect prices to stabilize. Whit?
Deirdre, thank you. To the index and the freight train derailment, 28 cars of the Union Pacific train going off the track in Albert Lea, Minnesota, about 100 miles south of Minneapolis. So far, no injuries reported, but police have issued a precautionary shelter in place and are asking people to avoid the area. The latest on the urgent search for a missing tiger. Police say they believe the Bengal tiger, who was spotted roaming around a Houston neighborhood last Sunday, is likely still in the city. The tiger's alleged owner, who had been out on bond for unrelated murder charges, ordered back to jail during a hearing on Friday. NBA legend Kobe Bryant inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Bryant enshrined alongside other NBA greats, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. His daughter Natalia wore his Hall of Fame jacket during an emotional moment on Friday. Finally tonight, a perfect match. The school administrator with an extraordinary gift.
Gavin Sexton was just 3 years old when he was diagnosed with Wilms tumor, a type of kidney cancer. One kidney was removed, and after 5 years of chemo and radiation, the other failed.
It was pretty tough. I didn't feel well.
The 11-year-old needed a transplant. With neither parent a match, his family sent out this desperate plea in a letter to loved ones. We need your help. In fact, this might be the biggest ask of our lives. Gavin needs a kidney. That message forwarded to Ann Camino, an administrator at Gavin's school in Chicago. Although she didn't know Gavin, Ann was inspired to act.
I just thought if this were one of my daughters, I would want somebody to come forward and see if they're a match.
Turns out she was a match. The transplant surgery in February provided immediate results.
When I heard that he didn't need the dialysis, that was an amazing moment for me. Knowing that he didn't have to go through that every day made me really, really happy.
Today, thanks to a life-saving gift from a total stranger, Gavin is thriving.
I have a lot more energy, and I can actually do other stuff. Go to school with my friends and do some after-school activities.
And the sixth grader sharing this message.
Keep your head up.
What a warrior. Thanks for watching. I'm Wade Johnson in New York. Have a great night.